Live and in living color in Nashville, Tennessee, this is The Six. Good evening, everyone. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Landon Schmidt here with you on this fine Thursday. A lot to get into, so let's get into it. Without further ado, we are, of course, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. A lot to talk about, as I said, specifically in the realm of the Tennessee Titans. They were on the field today, a joint practice with the Bears of Chicago. I was there, and our guest today, our guest host with me today, Parker Kelly, was also there. Parker Kelly, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, Connor. It was a fun day for multiple reasons, and I apologize to anybody that's watching the live stream because I got a little sunburn on the forehead from where my hat was.
So, oh, yeah.
It was hot out there. It got a little feisty, but overall it was a lot of fun, and can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, a lot to talk about today. A very eventful day in joint practices. Cam Ward with a performance, Carnell Tate with a great performance, looked very good. I think he's put the Carnell Tate struggles in the preseason rumors to rest, not even rumors, narratives to rest. Defensively, there's a lot to talk about. And, of course, the situation with Wandell Robinson will be something we have to talk about. But we'll start with Cam Ward here. What did you make of the performance from Cam today?
I thought it was a rough first half for him. There were several key misses, especially when they were doing the red zone portion in that first half. There were a couple passes in the back of the end zone where he had Carnell Tate streaking wide open, overshot him. And then before that, there was a pass to Calvin Ridley. And, you know, I was talking with some other people standing off to the side, and some people said that he was trying to throw it away, but I thought there was room where he could have hit Calvin Ridley in the back of the end zone. And, you know, we wouldn't expect Mitchell Trubisky to make a play like that. We wouldn't expect Will Levis to make a play like that or Hendon Hooker. But Cam Ward being the, you know, first overall pick a couple of seasons ago, that is a pass. That is a play that you probably need to make, and he overshot him. So overshot Calvin Ridley, overshot Carnell Tate, but responded later in the practice, later in that first half, with the touchdown to Carnell Tate. And then that second half, he looked pretty good. So it was up and down, but started off rough, but got much better for Cam Ward.
Yeah, I agree with 100% of the things you just said. Did have the interception, was looking for Gunnar Helm. It was tipped up and caught by the Chicago defense, which I must have missed that because I don't recall that happening, but I guess I just must have missed it. Did have two touchdown passes, one to Carnell Tate, and I believe both of them were actually to Carnell Tate. Yeah, they were, because Carnell had two touchdowns. So
yes, he did.
Good day all around for Carnell Tate, which leads me into that. 7 catches, 12 targets, it's reported in terms of the stats. And look, you and I are not ones to keep up with stats in the preseason, especially during a practice. But great day for him. Made some phenomenal catches. There was one where he, I think it was in the end zone actually, he shifts left, jukes it out, gets to the right, back of the end zone, touchdown. Just great stuff to see from the first round pick, the number 4 overall pick, we should say. I think we can say that the whole Carnell Tate doesn't shine when it matters most, I think that's done. To me, and it sounds like to Robert Saleh as well, the joint practices are where you're going to get the meat and the potatoes of the preseason. The preseason games, I think they've confirmed, they go pretty vanilla in terms of the play calling on both sides of the ball. Today they mixed it up, and today we saw the offensive playbook in full force, and I think it was beneficial to see that from Cam Ward, and especially beneficial to see that from Carnell Tate.
Well, I was listening. I think the thing that I've learned most, you know, just being out there at practices, at joint practices, really all throughout this preseason is, you know, if your starters on the other team are not going to play in the preseason, the opponent, and you have all your starters out there, well, it's just not the same. You just don't get the same effect as you do in joint practices when everybody's going. And Cam Ward actually talked about this today in his presser, which I was really encouraged to hear him say. They're practicing game-type scenarios in these joint practices, but and this came straight from Cam Ward's mouth. everything they do in the preseason is vanilla because they don't want to give anything away on film. So that kind of reaffirms what a lot of us at this station have been saying. And I heard Adam talking about this on DVD when I was driving back home from practice. And he was reading off all those stats. It was kind of making my head spin. But basically the gist of what he was saying was teams that look better in these joint practices, I think 58% of them improve their win total. And that's like going back to like 2011 versus how you perform in the preseason. So there's a lot more value to me in these joint practices than there are those preseason games. And Caleb, I was at Caleb Williams' presser as well. And the first thing that he said was he doesn't know if he's going to play or not on Saturday. And I'd be willing to bet that at most he gets a series.
Yeah, I don't think he'll see a lot of time out there, especially, you know, I wouldn't imagine a lot of the starters on both sides of the ball for Chicago see a lot of time out there. Caleb, I don't think, should play that much. Roma Dunze shouldn't play that much. Luther Burden shouldn't play at all because he was limited in today's practice. I could argue that the offensive line, a lot of those pieces, because they've kind of upgraded their offensive line this season, I don't think a lot of them should play to avoid injury. Yeah, I don't see a point in really playing the starters if you're Chicago. I see the point in playing them if you're Tennessee, and I'm sure that they will. They'll probably get them out the same amount of load that they've gotten the past 2 weeks. But yeah, for Chicago, I don't see the point in playing the starters. The biggest thing for me today in practice was a moment I think you and I and pretty much everyone collectively at practice all collectively said, ooh, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Wandale Robinson, coming off the right side, cutting across the middle, takes a illegal hit from former Titans safety Xavier Woods. He was slow to get up. He's being evaluated for a concussion, which is unfortunate and not something you want to hear. I would imagine he doesn't play on Saturday. But the main thing that got my attention was what happened after. You saw Alec Iomanner was involved. The offensive line was involved. They all rallied and went right after Xavier Woods. And to me, that was a team unifying movement. That was a moment of this practice where I thought, they're in it for more than just wins and losses. They're in it for each other. That was a team moment. And I think it's good that we saw that, because I looked at you when that happened and I said, I love every minute of this. It's great to see that they stick up for their guys. They trust each other. They like each other. And I think that's the building block of what makes a team competitive, is camaraderie in the locker room. You're in that promo we air all the time. Nothing is more important than locker room camaraderie. And I think that's a perfect example of what we saw on the practice field today. Locker room camaraderie making its way onto the field when it matters.
Things were really feisty throughout that entire practice. And that just happens. I mean, when you're seeing a different team at three separate weeks, and it's not, you know, the same people that you're going against every single day, tensions tend to rise and, you know, things boil over and, you know, you got your typical chippiness and that sort of thing. But when I saw that hit, first of all, I'm thinking it's practice. They're not trying to kill each other. I don't even think they were bringing anybody to the ground. So when Xavier Woods literally airlifted Wandale Robinson, I was floored, and so was everybody else. But then the next thing I see is Austin Schlottman going after Xavier Woods, and then I see Alec Iomanner start to get in on it, and he had to be held back. I see Calvin Ridley going at a guy, and that's just Calvin Ridley's personality.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here watching this all go down, and I'm like, man, like, I would want those guys as my teammates because they have my back, if anything else. And, you know, Peter Skoronski talked about this a little bit after practice, how he doesn't condone punches being thrown and that sort of thing, and I'm with him on that. But I am for my teammates getting my back, and they certainly did that today.
They certainly did that, and it was warranted because, as Robert Saleh said, it was a cheap hit. I thought the moment it happened, it was a dirty hit. Clearly the refs did too, as pretty much all three flags came out. Obviously the Titans did as well, and I think even some of the Bears knew what went on. Xavier Woods clearly didn't. He kind of ran his mouth after that happened. But the Bears were quick to retreat and get back and, you know, hold their own. But still, they weren't the aggressor in this situation. The Titans were. And I thought it was a moment where you saw maturity and true camaraderie come out onto the field. And that's something that I don't think we can honestly say that we've heard or seen that on the practice field or even in a game setting for the Titans in quite some time. So that is, I thought that was pretty important. For Wandell Robinson, obviously potential injury is a concern. I would imagine he's going to be evaluated for a concussion. He got rocked. And I mean, you saw it. He got hit right from the backside too. So not great. But I would imagine he's probably not going to play Saturday. He should be good to go for week one, if you were to ask me. I'm not a doctor, but that's my opinion.
Well, concussions typically don't take that long to recover from. But, yeah, Wandell Robinson, even if, you know, I haven't seen the official ruling on his diagnosis, but he's not going to play on Saturday, that's for sure. But I agreed with what Salah said. It was cheap. You shouldn't be trying to kill each other in practice. And Xavier Woods, that hit had some malice behind it. And certainly not good, but – yeah, Wandell Robinson, he'll probably be back with – he'll be ready to go by New York.
Safe to say, an eventful day at practice, and that's not even the extent of what happened. We're going to get into the defense here in just a second. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in our conversation. Our phone and text lines, as always, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A lot to talk about today involving the Titans. We'll get to the defensive side of the ball. Struggled at first, but shored some things up. So we'll discuss that coming up next. We'll get into some offensive remedies. Has the offense with today's practice remedied some of the concerns that we had going into this preseason game? And of course, we'll wrap things up with our favorite game, Where Are They Now? But I just mentioned it coming up next. Defensively, the Titans struggled at first, but shored up some things. The front line set up the secondary for some plays, ended practice with an interception. Is this how the defense is going to operate when we get to the regular season? We'll discuss coming up next. This is The Six. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. Yeah. Welcome back in. This is The Six here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Landon Schmidt here with you on your drive home. Breaking the walls down, as they say, as the Ayatollah of rock and rolla tells us to do. Well done, Landon. Great song choice by you. Let's flip things over to the defensive side of the ball in terms of what the Titans did on the field today. We just mentioned a lot of what the offense did. Up and down day for Cam Ward. Great day from Carnell Tate. Wandell Robinson gets laid out by Xavier Woods. I think we've laid the groundwork on the offense. We can return to that in the next segment. But defensively, you probably were watching more of it than I was, Parker, because I was pretty invested in the offense, at least in the first half of the team period. But it seemed like at first the Titans defense sort of struggled with Caleb Williams and the Bears offense and what they were able to do, and then shored some things up and got to the point where the front line was affecting the pass or getting to the quarterback. I saw Caleb Williams was sacked at one point. And even when they did that, it set the secondary up for success and it allowed them to make plays on the ball, break up some passes. And as we know, and as that was reported, and as you and I saw, practice ended in the 2-minute drill, at least for the first team, on a Tony Adams interception from Caleb Williams. So, what did the defense do for you today, and is this how the defense is going to operate this season in terms of maybe they struggle at first and then shore things up, and even the functionalities of the defense showing that the front line gets to the quarterback and opens opportunities up for the secondary?
I think if you go and you look back at Robert Saleh's previous defenses, both in both stints in San Francisco and in New York, they were elite the longer he was there. But to start off, it wasn't like they were elite right away. So all that to say with the Titans, it hasn't – there have been times where the defense has been a major question mark, and you can point to the two explosives given up versus Seattle's backups on Sunday night. But then there are times where it looked pretty good, like today. Definitely struggled in that first half. Every time I looked over, it seems like Caleb Williams was completing a deep pass to, you know, either Rome Odunze, Colston Loveland got in on some. But in that second half, they came out and they really were stingy, and they didn't give up much. And you pointed out the interception. I think that maybe for this defense, for it to fully run into form, we'll see that progress throughout the year. It may not start out as, you know, a top 10 to 15 defense in the NFL, but maybe as we get towards the back half of the regular season, we can start to see that defense round into form a little bit. I don't know. I don't know how much is too much to ask of this defense and the pieces they've brought in, but I know that they certainly have better pieces than they did last year. So we'll just have to see.
They definitely have upgraded on paper. That's for sure. The front line is completely different. Pieces around Jeffrey Simmons. The inside backer room is relatively the same with the addition of Anthony Hill, who you drafted, and then your secondary is pretty much overhauled. So they've got new pieces. They've got a new system to learn, but to me, I thought this was a good bounce back day for the Titans defense going up against one of the NFL's top offenses in terms of young and electric. I thought based on what they showed us in Seattle against twos and threes, I was a bit concerned coming into this week. I'm not going to lie to you. And there's still some concern there because it's preseason and we won't know until we get to the regular season. But I thought seeing them rally together, shore up some things, get to the quarterback, affect the pass, make a play on the quarterback, and intercept some balls, I thought that showed us a lot about how this mental construct is with this defense. And I think a lot of this, in terms of the functionality of how this defense is going to work, was on display today. The front line got to the quarterback and affected the pass, which opened up some opportunities in the pass breakup game or the interception game for the secondary. Specifically, the defensive tackles in Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers were putting the offensive line to work, it felt like. Jermaine Johnson, Femi Oladejo, I'm blanking on his name. Edge rusher, not Jermaine Johnson.
Eldrick.
Yeah, him too. The other one.
Oh, Jacob Martin.
Jacob Martin, thank you. I was thinking Jacob Rodriguez for some reason, but he is not a Tennessee Titan. Anyways.
You must have heard me talk about Jacob Rodriguez the other day.
Yeah, I did. I saw your reel. But those four were pretty good in the pass rush game. They're fast. They're violent. Kind of like that's the definition of what this defense is supposed to be. So I think the general outlook of how this defense is going to function was on full display today against one of the NFL's top offenses, I should say.
I think they, because some of the clips that I saw from practice today, it looks like they really got Caleb Williams out of sorts, meaning that they, you know, forced him to escape the pocket or, you know, scramble up into the pocket, that sort of thing. And the quicker that the front seven, the quicker that defensive line is able to get to the quarterback, the easier job it is. It makes the job easier for everybody in the secondary. And I think when, you know, you force Caleb to play, you know, scramble drill, backyard football, that sort of thing, typically he's shown that he can beat you. He showed that last season, the 7 or 8 fourth quarter comebacks. Typically, Caleb Williams is pretty good in that area.
Yeah.
Today in the second half, it wasn't what we saw in the regular season. And that's a credit to the adjustments the Titans defense made. And they were able to force him off his mark a little bit, and it ended up working out for him.
With the amount of Midwestern complaining I heard today from Bears media about how hot it is in Tennessee, it is fitting that the Iceman melted a little bit today. Little play on words for you there. But I thought, you know, we've talked a lot about how this front line is going to be the strength of this Titans defense, and the secondary being overhauled has to be at least good at some points this season. I thought that was on display today. I thought the corners did their job. Guess whose name we didn't hear today? which has caused a lot of concern for Titans fans. Cordell Flott, we didn't hear his name today, and that's good. It's like an offensive lineman. If you're not hearing their name, chances are they're probably doing something really good. So unless he's making an interception, I don't want to hear Cordell Flott's name. Or making a pass breakup, I don't want to hear Cordell Flott's name. We didn't hear anything about him today. That tells me that he did a decent job in the secondary. Elante Taylor, too. It is funny that we saw Tony Adams get the interception, but he's going to make this roster, so he's getting in with the ones, and he made a good play, so good for him. Overall, the functionality of this defense, I am pretty sure, was on full display today. The front line gets to the quarterback, fast and violent, all gas, no brakes, makes an effect on the pass or gets the sack, and it opens up the opportunity for those behind him, the secondary, to make a play on the ball. I think the defense is going to be a strength of this team heading into the season. We just need to see some consistency, which top to bottom for the Titans, we got to see a lot of consistency across the board. Cam Ward comes to mind there. Garnell Tate comes to mind. The offensive line comes to mind. We need to see consistency across the board for the Titans. But the defense might be a microcosm of how this team is structured. If one unit is doing their job, it opens the opportunity up for another unit. And I thought that was on full display today from the Titans defense. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, we'll get back into the offense. With the performances of Cam Ward and Carnell Tate today, and even the offensive line, I'll throw them in there. Have they remedied some of the concerns that we had this week about them? We'll discuss coming up next. This is The Six. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. This is The Six here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on your drive home. We are with you for an additional 30 minutes. Not additional to the show, but for the next 30 minutes, we are with you on your drive home. So we are talking a lot about the Titans today, and that'll probably be the common theme of the show, believe it or not. The football show talks about the football team in Tennessee. But I want to flip it back over to the offensive side of the ball. And I feel like it was a good day for the offense. Not great, but good. I think you saw some good things. There were some bad things out there. But hey, it's practice. You're going to see that. Cam Ward, I'm specifically thinking about. An up-and-down day from him. Had the interception looking for Gunnar Helm. But bounced back in a good way. Had two touchdowns and made some really great plays out there. Carnell Tate was the steady hand out there. 7 catches on 12 targets. 2 touchdowns. Great day from him. So, with that being said, this week there's been a lot of offensive concern for the Titans, for Cam Ward, for Carnell Tate even, for the offensive line. And today they went out there and they did what they did. And I feel like we walked away saying, yeah, it was a good day from the offense. So, to you, Parker, have some of these offensive concerns we've been having for the Titans offense been remedied by what we saw out there today?
I will say I'm not as concerned about the offensive line as I was going in, because I remember it seemed like every other show that Jake and I were doing, we were bashing that offensive line. But I will say everybody seems, you know, like the offensive line has a clear direction. And I think that's provided with Austin Slotman at center, who spent the last couple of seasons in Brian Daboll's scheme in New York. And Peter Skoronski talked about that today, how that's just expedited the learning curve for everybody, and they kind of view him as the North Star. So that kind of it eases my concerns a little bit. But two, I was worried about Cordell Volson starting at right guard, but he was running with the third team today, so I don't really have to worry about Cordell Volson anymore. And also the emergence of Fernando Carmona, that kind of came out of left field. So, yeah, I'd say I'm not as concerned about the offensive line. And this scheme that Brian Daboll runs, the quick option routes, the quick routes in general, getting the ball out of Cam Ward's hand in under 2.5 seconds, that, if there are deficiencies on the offensive line, the fact that you get the ball out quickly, that masquerades a lot of the deficiencies. So it's kind of like Mike McDaniel in Miami last year. The type of offense that he ran, getting the ball quickly out of Tua's hand as possible, the offensive line wasn't great, but they were able to get the ball out of their hands quickly, so you never really noticed them.
Yeah, I would say, to put it bluntly, I'm not completely remedied by some of the concerns I have.
Oh, I'm not either.
Still want to see Still want to see Cam Ward get some consistency. Still, I think the offensive line has room to improve because there's always room to improve. But I think the offensive line is probably the perfect example of this that we can use. I'm not as concerned about that unit as I was at the start of training camp because I think you put it very perfectly. The emergence of Fernando Carmona at that position, I feel like he's been a very good addition at that spot. Austin Schlotman is a better center than I was expecting him to be. Again, this could all go away very easily when we get to the regular season and if they suck. But J.C. Latham, I think, has had a really good camp so far. I think he's going to have a really good season if he continues this. Peter Skoronski, you know, is the steady hand on that offensive line. And Dan Moore has been Dan Moore. Dan Moore is fine. He's not elite, but he's fine at what he does. So the offensive line, I would say, is the unit I am least concerned, not least concerned about, but I have less concern for that room than I do other rooms. Carnell Tate, I think, has remedied himself from some of the concerns that have come out this week. A lot of people were saying, you know, he's not a number one receiver. He's not worth your first round because of what he's been able to do in preseason games. And as we know, not to make excuses, the Titans offense has been pretty vanilla in terms of the preseason callings. So I don't know how different that'll be this weekend. I doubt it will be much different. But Carnell Tate, when the playbook opens up for him and when he is hitting, he is hitting. So what I saw from him today, I feel way better about Carnell Tate. But Cam Ward, I think, is the X factor in this conversation. Cam Ward, very up and down day, as we said. Very up and down camp, I think you can put it all together. So I am not remedied by him whatsoever. But I did appreciate seeing the fact that, yes, it was a rough start for him. He was able to bounce back. And some of that is attributed to the offensive line. Some of that's attributed to Carnell Tate. Some of that is attributed to Chim Dike, who he had a touchdown pass to. Or was that Mitch Trubisky? Regardless, Chim had a touchdown pass.
That was Trubisky.
It was Trubisky. But Chad on our text line says, my new take is that somehow Chim Dike is the most consistent receiver from the start of camp to the end. Not always the biggest plays, but I swear he catches a touchdown every practice and can't remember a drop from him. Not saying he's the best wide receiver we have, just noted his consistency after another touchdown today. What are y'all's thoughts on that? I think you're spot on, Chad. I don't know. He's very consistent. I don't know if he's the most consistent receiver that's out there because I think Wandell Robinson is very consistent. But it does feel like that Chim Dike finds himself into big plays and makes good plays. And, you know, today was no different. He ran a corner route in the back of the end zone. Mitch Trubisky finds him wide open. Touchdown. So Chim Dike, I am very excited about his role on this offense this year. He's going to rotate in because obviously he's an all-pro punt returner, and you're going to trot Robinson, Ridley, and Tate out there as your first three wide receivers, but he's going to get his lion's share of snaps. So Chim Dike, I think, is a contributor to how Cam Ward can improve this season. I think if he factors into the throws and makes big plays and even the little plays, you know, we've been telling Cam Ward to take the simple stuff. Chim Dike can factor into the simple stuff. So Chim Dike, I think, in terms of consistency, is one of the better ones on this roster.
When I think of most consistent, I immediately go to Wandell Robinson. But Chim Dike is consistent, too. I don't really see him doing anything that's can be viewed as negative. I mean, he's not a starter, at least on offense, but when he gets opportunities and he gets reps, he usually does pretty well. And yeah, he's caught a lot of touchdowns in practice, and he's made the most of his opportunities for sure. He's definitely up there. I don't really have many bad things to say about Chim Dike when he's out there on offense. He's fast. His routes are good. He catches the football. I don't have many bad things to say.
What are your thoughts on the tight end room? I think we saw some good plays from them today. The one that comes to mind for me, Cam Ward, maybe not the greatest of throws to Gunnar Helm, but Gunnar Helm extends the arm, makes a Odell Beckham-like catch almost over a defender. What are your thoughts on the tight end room? I think they serve different roles, but they're both useful in the roles that they serve.
I've tried to keep moderate expectations for the tight end room because I know they're just not a huge part of Daboll's offenses at the places he's been, whether it's New York or Buffalo. He doesn't utilize, a tight end like, let's say, how Las Vegas would utilize Brock Bowers or Indianapolis utilizes Tyler Warren. They still play a role, but if you think about Gunnar Helm, he's tight end one. He's going to, I don't see him being this 1,000 type yard tight end. I see him being used a lot in the red zone. I see him, being used on the short to intermediate stuff for sure. Has moderate, yard after catch ability. And then you look at the guy behind him, and that's Daniel Bellinger, who I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think he had a little over 200 receiving yards last year. That guy's a big guy, and he's going to be used primarily as a blocker. And then from that point on, it's David Martin Robinson, who is a contributor on special teams most of the time, and Kylan Granson, who is also a blocker. So if you're just kind of reading in between the lines here and the personnel that they have, they're going to be used primarily to block, unless your name is Gunnar Helm.
Yeah, we've talked about the tight end room before, and they serve different roles. Like, Gunnar Helm is not the elite tight end prototype that you have in the NFL right now. I think we saw one of them out there today in Colston Loveland. But he is good at everything, not great at everything. He's a good receiver. He's a good blocker. He does good in the red zone. He's a good tight end. He's going to be a good player in this league. And Daniel Bellinger, I think, is more of a blocker than a receiver. Not to repeat what you said, but I think when you get into the red zone and you run that 12, 13 personnel, whatever you want to do, and you have an extra tight end out there as a blocker, Daniel Bellinger is going to be the guy that's able to do that. So the tight end room, I think, is going to be a safety blanket for Cam Ward, for lack of a better term. I think it's I've used the term a lot today, a steady hand for Cam Ward. If he has that short route to Gunnar Helm and there's nothing else open, then he can take that. If you have Daniel Bellinger cutting across the middle wide open, then you can take that. The tight end room to me is a steady hand and a safety blanket for Cam Ward, as is Wandell Robinson, but there's something about those tight ends that are bigger and they're stronger and they can cut through defenses, not quite as well as a wide receiver, but you can still cut through the defense. I think that's serviceable for a young QB. So I am optimistic on what the tight end room can help provide Cam Ward with.
I think the biggest asset Gunnar Helm brings to the table is his ability as a receiver, and that was on full display with the one-handed catch. And I'm kind of surprised more people didn't ooh and aah when it happened, because it was over former first-round pick last year, Dylan Thienemann out of Oregon. So his ability as a receiver is fantastic. I think his hands are phenomenal. Is solid route runner, solid speed, solid blocker, but his biggest asset is his ability to catch the football. So I see him being utilized like maybe how Wandell Robinson is used in the red zone, a safety blanket. And then he can, be a possession type receiver for you when you're, backed up, maybe in, opposing territory. He's not a burner, and that's okay. He doesn't have to be. But his hands are really good, and he can be relied upon in the short to intermediate range.
Overall, you know what my biggest takeaway of camp was today?
That is?
Bears fans are awesome.
They are.
They're wild.
They showed up today.
They travel well. I saw some families get separated because half the family was in Titans gear and the other half was in Bears gear, and they split them up, but Bears Nation travels. They're awesome. I'm you know me. I'm never one for you can have more than one team. The Titans are always going to be my NFL team. But if I had to pick an NFC team, and let's say the Titans don't exist, I'd probably go Bear Nation. They're fun.
Well, I'm in a sticky situation here because I married into a Bears family.
So yes, you did.
They allow me, I root for the Titans. I'm a Titans fan. I have no problem admitting that, but when they're not playing the Titans, I'll root for the Bears. It was great seeing them today. And honestly, with the amount of people that are moving here from Chicago, maybe Bears fans didn't travel today. Maybe there are just that many Chicago Bears fans in Nashville.
Well, there's a lot of older Bears fans that live in Nashville, too, because, you know, before the Titans were here, from what I understand, my dad is one of them. Before the Titans moved here, a lot of fans cheered for whoever was on TV. So that's the Bears, it's the Packers, it's the Cowboys, these bigger market teams. And, you know, they just kind of stuck around. So there was probably a lot of that out today. But I think you're right, too, and a lot of people are moving from Chicago to Nashville. So maybe they're not moving or coming from Chicago. Maybe they just live here and they like the Bears. All in all,
they want to get out of that cold when they retire, and then they get down here and they complain about the heat. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to pick one or the other. It was hot today, but it's our Tennessee heat. And just wait till January when it's 20 degrees outside. It's not as fun. 615.
You get all four seasons here.
That is true. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, our favorite game. Where are they now? We'll do that coming up next. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on your drive home. This is The Six on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. This is The Six here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Landon Schmidt here with you on your drive home. And as we wrap things up on this Thursday, we play everyone's favorite game, Where Are They Now? And it's become a daily tradition where Chad on our text line gives his preemptive guess. Today's guess, Lindsey Hunter. I don't have Lindsey Hunter. I don't know about the two of you, but I don't have Lindsey Hunter on my list.
I do not have her on my list either.
I'm pretty sure it's a guy, but okay.
I don't have him either.
Yeah, I definitely don't have him on my list.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Lindsey Hunter was a basketball player. He played for the Suns.
Who? I'm just kidding.
He said, I don't have her. But without further ado, I'm sure you all know how to play. Landon making his Where Are They Now debut today, so this should be fun. Let's play Where Are They Now. Hit the music. Amazing. All right. I'll start today. We go to the gridiron. I'm sorry. I was looking it up as I was thinking of it. Tennessee Titans, St. Louis Rams, Miami Dolphins, Carolina Panthers.
Oh. It's not offensive lineman, is it?
It is not. He's a one-time Pro Bowler, whatever that means now. A first-team All-Pro selection. Drafted in 2006.
Drafted in 2006. And he ended with the Panthers?
He did.
Is he active?
He is not. He retired in 2015.
What was the team after the Rams?
The Miami Dolphins.
Landon's awfully quiet back there. I'm
just
Landon
thinking.
Call.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's cool, calm, and collective.
He's thinking about the Rambo Warriors.
Heck yeah, I am. Go Bows.
Week zeros this week. He was a 7th-round pick, and he comes from the defensive side of the ball.
I feel like the text line is going to be so mad at me.
Well, they're mad at you that you didn't know who Lindsey Hunter was and you thought it was a woman. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm not living that one down.
I don't even have a shot.
You're both going to kick yourselves. It is Courtland Finnegan.
Golly.
Gosh dang.
Courtland Finnegan from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Right, I am kicking myself.
Played at Stanford, who Landon hopes loses by 200 this weekend.
Lights got too bright.
Parker Kelly, you're up.
All right. This is a currently active NFL player. Was drafted by the Detroit Lions. Was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles and is a member of the Chicago Bears.
Okay. So we saw him today. Then this would be their running back, Mr. DeAndre Swift.
Yep. Easy one. Easy one.
Layup.
Very nice.
Very nice. All right. With his first ever contestant on Where Are They Now, Landon Schmidt to the plate.
Okay.
Can I guess before he goes?
Sure.
Sure. Go for it.
Colt Brennan.
Nope. That would be a little bit too on the nose. If you knew anything about me and my Hawaii fandom. No, we are sticking with the gridiron, though. This guy was drafted third round back in 1986.
Oh.
So really put your thinking caps on here. He was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then he went on to play for the Eagles, then the Jets, then the Broncos, Vikings. And then he joined the offseason or practice squad for the Chiefs and then retired in 2001 with the Buccaneers.
Oh, okay. This is a major pull. All right, let's see.
Going deep in the archives here.
Dude. He listed like half the teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the goal.
Yeah.
Just wanted people to know that I know NFL teams.
Yeah, he's coming with a bang. Was it Bubby Brister?
Nailed it.
Yes.
Go, wow, Bubby Connor. Brister.
Okay. Yes. Louisiana Monroe legend.
Oh, yeah.
Bubby Brister. I don't remember watching Bubby Brister play. I think I was a little younger.
I only remember him with the Broncos. He replaced John Elway.
That's right. That's right. Bubby Brister. I'm very proud of myself for getting that one.
I'm proud of you.
That was good, Connor. Well done. Well done.
All right.
All right, I'm stepping up my game this next
one. If you got one, go ahead. I'm not ready.
No, I don't have it pulled up.
I've got another one.
Okay.
Cool. I'll go back to back. Why not? Sticking with the gridiron. This is also, yes, another old one. let's see. I do have it pulled up. He went undrafted in 1984, but we know this guy very well. At least we should. He started his career with the Miami Dolphins, but immediately switched to the Green Bay Packers. Then he played for the St. Louis / Phoenix Cardinals, and he was with not only the Houston Oilers, not only the Tennessee Oilers, but also with the Titans from 91 to the year 2000 when he retired.
Bruce Matthews.
No.
Oh. Oh.
That one was less impressive.
Yeah. Kyle Vandenbosch?
Not him.
Well, we have a three-guess rule here on the program, so I've got one guess left.
Uh-oh.
Brad Hopkins.
Not Brad.
No, Brad was drafted by Tennessee.
What he's doing now is he is an on-air personality, and he's also a golf coach at Spain Park High School in Hoover, Alabama.
Oh!
Wow.
Okay. So now I got to think of 90s Titans.
On-air personality.
He was with the Titans for a while.
Yeah. It's someone I feel like I should know, and I feel really bad that I don't have the answer.
If Brandon were here, I think he would get it.
Yeah, he probably would. He's
really good.
He's pretty good at this game.
He's really
well, I also
good.
Told him who it was yesterday.
Oh, well, that too. I know this is wrong because he played at Baltimore. Samari Roll.
It is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not Samari Roll.
I feel really dumb.
It's okay.
I feel dumb every time I play this game.
I'm waving the white flag for time's sake. Who is it?
It is Al Del Greco.
Oh!
Our beloved kicker.
Maybe the greatest kicker in Titans history.
Love that guy.
Landon's pulling the deep cuts.
I had to make a good first impression.
I'm proud of him. He's gone for the throat in his debut.
Well done. Well done, sir.
All right, I've got one. Sticking with the gridiron, I guess we're just going to have the gridiron all day today.
Absolutely.
Denver Broncos, Miami Dolphins, Chicago Bears, New York Jets, New York Giants, Seattle Seahawks. A six-time Pro Bowler.
Wait, can you list the teams? I was trying to pull up my next guy.
Sure. Denver Broncos, Miami Dolphins, Chicago Bears, New York Jets, New York Giants, Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, switched teams in New York.
Yes, he did. A former Pro Bowler, or a six-time Pro Bowler, I should say.
Six-time Pro Bowler.
First team All-Pro.
What year?
His All-Pro year came in... If Pro Football Reference would tell me, that would be great. Let's see here. First team All-Pro with the Chicago Bears. Believe that was in 2013.
2013.
I know this isn't right, but he's one of the players that I know switched from Denver to Chicago. That was Jay Cutler. But I know that's not the answer.
No, it is not Jay Cutler. That's a good guess, though.
That is a good guess. He went from Broncos to where?
Miami.
Broncos to Miami.
Jay Cutler did play in Miami for a bit, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, but it was after
Chicago. Lazy wide receiver play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is from the University of Central Florida, UCF.
Shout out Blake Bortles. That's not.
I was literally about to say.
Yeah. Wide receiver, if that helps you.
Nope. Give us the answer.
You want it?
Yep.
All right. Brandon Marshall.
Gosh.
Wow.
All right. Parker, if you go quick, we can get one.
I got a good one to end. All right. Spent his first two seasons in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles. Then spent another season with the Cleveland Browns. Then went to the Miami Dolphins. Spent a season with the Chicago Bears in 2018. Went to the Tennessee Titans in 2019. And then he finished his career with two teams, the Cleveland Browns, which would have been his second stint up there. And then wrapped up his career, or his last active season, was 2021 with the New Orleans Saints. This is a good one to end on.
Where'd he go to college?
He went to college at Auburn.
Eliminated who I was gonna guess.
Yeah, me too. Is it Ryan Succop?
Not Ryan Succop.
No, he went to
Ryan
Tampa.
Ryan Succop finished his career with the Bucks.
That's right. We're running short on time, too. Let's think here. Did you say he came from Miami here, right?
Came from Miami, Chicago, then to the
South. Oh, from Chicago to here. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I'm waving the flag. We're out of time.
Yeah, I'm stumped.
Yeah.
Cody Parkey. Double doink.
Double doink. Double doink. I was at the game where that Colts game where Marcus threw a death pick. He was the starting kicker there. I remember that.
Yep. 2019 was his lone season with the Titans.
Well, that'll do it for us here on the program. Don't go anywhere, though, here on 102.5 The Game on our YouTube page. The Air Raid with Parker Kelly coming up next. I hear it is week zero preview season.
We're talking Hawaii, Landon. Better tune in.
Yeah.
Go Bose. I'm always tuning in.
Go Bose. That'll do it for us here on the program. For Parker Kelly, Landon Schmidt behind the board, my name is Connor Newt saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow for a 30-minute edition of the show right before the game blitz right here. This is The 6 on 102.5 The Game.